kindness. Well, I think that I'm a kind person, so I didn't have a whole lot of trouble with this. Patience, that was a different story that week. So, all right, what's your definition of kindness? When you hear kindness, what in the world does that mean?
Patience.
No, I'm separating the two. What do you think of kindness? Well, let's go at a different way. Who has been kind, and what act of kindness were you shown this week? Yes, ma'am.
I was trying to put up a flag pole on my house, and my neighbor up the street saw I was struggling, and he came down and helped me.
Okay. Certainly an act of kindness. That's good. Who else had some acts of kindness heaped upon them this week? Yes, ma'am.
I take care of cancer patients, and my act of kindness from someone else is asking me when am I coming back to work.
Okay. That felt good. Who else had acts of kindness heaped upon them this week? Yes, ma'am.
Just some little boys and girls at school that open the door for everybody.
Well, that's excellent. Okay, anybody else?
I actually had a patient pray for me this week.
Okay, certainly a difference, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's got to make you feel good. Yes, ma'am.
I took my friend to a doctor because her daughter was sick and was a baby, right? And it was my first time doing that. And it was really not kind for me to see that little baby or taking that little baby to the doctor. So it's kind of new.
Okay. So you did some kindness and got some kindness back, okay?
One of my coworkers this week told a student that was observing, when you find someone like Kay, you take care of her.
Oh.
And I thought that was so...
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Very nice act of kindness. Anybody else? Yes.
I was, before I left for Houston on Monday, I was talking to my 3.5-year-old granddaughter and talking about hair. And of course, she says, Papa, you don't have any hair. And I do one of these, you know, things to play on her emotions. So she says, wait a minute. So she climbs up on the sofa and gets behind me, puts her head on mine, and throws her hair forward.
Ah, now see? That is kindness. That is.
I'll never forget.
Yeah, that's kindness and pity all put together. That's good. Those types of moments are precious, believe me. Now, if kindness is one of the fruit of the spirits, correct? Well, then what acts of kindness did you do this week? Got one. Yes, ma'am.
I have a neighbor who finds it very difficult to walk because of knee problems. So I take her trash and pick up her mail for her almost every day.
Okay, absolutely. Who else did acts of kindness? If it's a fruit, then I think it should be kind of expressed this week. So who else did an act of kindness? Yes?
I showed up at a meeting last night that you wanted me to be at.
Yeah, it's called coercion. What else? Acts of kind. What acts of kindness did you do? Yes. Oh, is that my coat?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had a tough week this weekend. Someone that's been really being hateful to me. She doesn't know it, but she's the teacher of the year, and I'm having to plan her celebration. I'm doing everything in royal style, though.
Well, now that's...
As Edward spent one whole night, he didn't sleep, and he had to go to work. And he went to school, he went to work, and he stayed up with me putting together the slideshow for her. And also, yesterday after school, she was very hateful yesterday. I stayed after school about 3 or 4 hours, and I put together a beautiful book for her so that she will remember her
honor. Okay. Well, I see two things. I see Edward being very kind.
He was kind.
Absolutely. And this, I would say, is a great test of kindness. And well, who else? Yes, ma'am.
I'm a volunteer at the hospital, and that's where you have to show the fruits of the Spirit. because they all have to manifest when you are, you know, sharing with somebody else when they can't do for themselves. Mm-hmm. So kindness is something that is loving someone in spite of the situation that they're in. To always be cheerful, to be able to smile and say a good word. And to me, the fruits of the Spirit is very important in my life. Okay. And kindness is number one.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Got Angela and got Leroy.
I think kindness is this little boy sitting in class the other day, and I told a story about a teacher who had been very disrespectful and mean to a student, and the little boy jumps up and says, "That would never happen at our school because I had a raggedy book bag." And just yesterday, the principal gave me a brand new book bag full of school supplies. That would never happen here.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Leroy.
Well, I hate to speak up because I'm afraid I throw a monkey wrench in the directions you're going, because I don't know where you're going. But kindness should be a character trait. An act of kindness can be just exactly that.
Okay. All right. Yes.
Our oldest grandson, Zachary, has a friend at school, and he just considers her a good friend. And she's very disabled. And he protects her and helps her out and does things for her. And that's, you know, the kindness of a child. That's
okay. Absolutely. All right. Is God kind?
Well, we'd all be zapped if they weren't.
Is God kind?
Yes.
Show me some proof. Pardon?
We're still here.
Well, let's see. About those 3,000 Israelites that were swallowed up in the ground by an earthquake. Is God kind?
Maybe it was an act of kindness to swallow them up.
No problem with that whatsoever. Show me some acts of kindness in the Bible.
You say Saul from David.
Okay. And how did Saul end up?
Saul and him ended up, he died from somebody else's hands. But even though through all the things that he has done to David, by chasing him all those years,
okay.
They still gave him the kindness.
Okay. Kindness. Show me some kindness in the Bible from God.
Lines the need of Daniel.
Okay.
He didn't expose the people who drugged that woman that was in adultery. He didn't expose them. He just spoke on the ground what they had.
Okay. Absolutely.
So that was kindness, not to.
One of the greatest acts of kindness demonstrated in the Bible was the woman that was brought to Jesus in adultery. Now, have you ever known anybody, I know that's not in this class, not in this church, but you might have known somebody that felt that their greatest burden in life was to point out what other people are doing wrong and point out their sins. You ever know of anybody like that? Well, I hope it's not everybody. But we certainly know people like that who feel compelled to show people the error of their ways. And so here's a woman brought to Jesus, total trap, caught in adultery, and what did the law of Moses say? Stoner. So they thought they had Jesus. If he stones her, what kind of message does that send out? God's pretty harsh. And if he doesn't stone her, what message does that send out? It's not keeping the law of Moses. What a great trap. So instead, Jesus kneels down and he just simply begins writing. Writing in the sand with his fingers. What do you think he was writing?
All their problems.
All their problems. Here's a woman brought in adultery. So he might have wrote something like this. July 28th, Holiday Inn, 3 to 11 o'clock. And somebody looking over that said, "Wow, that's me." And he slowly gets out of the pack. In the telling of this story, the gospel writer makes a point that Jesus did not look up as he began writing until he was totally finished. Why did he not look up?
That way he doesn't expose who it's written for.
What a wonderful opportunity to expose their hypocrisy. What a wonderful opportunity to preach a sermon about, "Hey, just a minute, who are you?" Why didn't he do that? Throughout the Bible, God has always respected mankind. He's always shown His kindness. And as He wrote there, He began to write every one of these people's sins. And as they saw them, they just slowly left. And when He was through, He looked up. And where were they?
Gone.
Now, what a wonderful opportunity to preach a sermon to this woman. And what does he say to her? Where are your accusers? But that's not the most important words. The next sentence is the most important one. And I what? I do not accuse you. You see, sometimes we have this witnessing all wrong. Sometimes we feel obligated to point out to somebody what they're doing wrong. Why? You're a nice person, you believe in God, but how do you get around that Sabbath? What a wonderful testimony. Well, you're a nice person. You have a relationship with God. Well, how do you get around that state of the dead? What makes you think that when somebody dies, they go straight to heaven? You see, we're compelled to figure out how to point out where they're wrong and who's right. We are. Jesus didn't do that. Only to the Pharisees was He hard. Didn't do that. It was the kindness. Can you still read? Okay. Just checking. Read that.
Christ's method alone will give true success in reading the people. The Savior mingled with men at one who desired their... I don't know that word there.
Needs. Good.
Food. Thank you.
Good.
Oh, good? Okay. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he bade them...
Follow me.
Follow me.
Oh, somebody's got bad handwriting. What was that saying? Everywhere he went, he showed kindness. He mingled and showed kindness for the good of the people. And then when all of that was through, he had won their confidence, it was then he would say, "Follow me." Boy, do we sometimes have that wrong. We say, follow me, and then let me show you what all of these things are. People are not looking for a message. People are not looking for a doctrinal direction. People are not looking to see who's right and who's wrong. People are looking for very simple kindness. I want to share with you this morning what I think one of the best examples in the Bible on pure kindness. And here's the setting. It's found in the book of Luke. This is 6 days before Jesus goes to the cross. It's the day after He entered Jerusalem and the Passover. It's a Monday. He's at Bethany at the home of a gentleman named Simon. Simon is a Pharisee. Simon is kind of a public person who says, I'm a follower of Christ, yet he never followed Him. He proclaimed and never had the actions. It was Simon who Jesus had cured of leprosy. Do you get the point, picture now? Here's a man who was a Pharisee, a leper, an absolute outcast, and Jesus came along and healed him, and it basically did nothing for his heart. He felt obligated out of a sense of saying, well, this guy's a really good guy. But it was Simon who was part of the group that brought the woman in adultery to Jesus. In fact, he was one of those that had relationships with the woman in the setup. This is Simon, cured of leprosy, a so-called follower of Christ, and he throws a big banquet, and he has Christ there, and he has Lazarus there, who had just been what? Raised from the dead. And so Simon thinks, this is the party of all parties. But Angela's good. Parties of all parties. There's a young lady there named Mary. This is Mary who had been caught in adultery. And she brings perfume. And she takes this perfume very quietly, pours it on the feet of her Savior. Perfume goes right through the room. Now let's look at the reaction. What was the reaction of Judas, one of the chosen 12, one of the followers of Christ? What was his reaction?
He kept the money for the health of the poor.
Man, he got up and gave a great speech. Why are we wasting this money when we got these poor people in Haiti that need it? Why are we wasting this money when we should be giving it to the poor? Anything wrong with that thinking? Sounds logical. But what was his motivation? What position did he hold? He was the treasurer. And he'd been stealing money all along. And so he's saying, man, we should be giving it to the poor. What he's really saying is, uh-oh, here's some more money I'm not going to get my hands on. Everybody around that table began to say, they knew who that woman was. And they said, look, he's allowing a sinner to touch him. He's allowing a sinner to do this. And they begin kind of mumbling, what kind of guy is this? How can he be a prophet? How can he be a religious person? How can he be a good Seventh-day Adventist? He's running around with a sinner and he's letting sinners do this to him. And now Simon, he's embarrassed. Remember, this was the party of a lifetime. You got a dead guy just raised. You got a guy that's a prophet, the next king of Israel, and the party's gone bananas because everybody's insulted, and then Simon jumps in. And he says, Simon, who had been healed of leprosy, jumps in and says, well, if you're really a prophet, why are you letting this sinner touch you? Ever heard that in the church? Ever heard, why is this sinner around? Why don't this sinner get out and get cleaned up and then come back? Nah, you've never heard that. Here's the most kindest thing that a God will do. He says, got a question, Simon. A guy owes $5 and another guy owes $5,000. And the person who the debts are owed to forgives the person of the $5 debt and forgives the person of the $5,000 debt. Simon just got a question to ask you. Which one was forgiven the most? Well, the man that was owed the most. That's right. Then he went right back on eating his veggie burger, vegetables. And Simon sat there and thought, and he began thinking. He began reviewing his life. Leper healed, outcast brought in, brought a woman into adultery, the very woman I've just criticized. And get this, he never said a word to me about it. Where leprosy did not convert him, were caught in adultery with a woman that did not convert him, throwing a big feast did not convert him, it was the kindness of God who did not ridicule, did not point out, did not preach a sermon, did not expose him, did not embarrass him. It was the kindness of God that touched his heart and changed his life. What do you think of this story? How many classes on evangelism and witnessing do we have where we spend the time talking about kindness? Pardon?
Talking or experiencing it is better than talking about it.
I asked today, and some of you very nicely mentioned, some didn't, whatever. But do you understand that every one of you have received kindness this week? Sometimes it's easy to point out. Surely than Rick's, very easy to point out the kindness of the class, the kindness of God. But let me tell you, you've received kindness. You've received the same kindness from God that God gave Simon that day. That God gave that woman in adultery that day. You've received it. I've received it. We like to take a text that says that God is forgetful. That God forgets our sins. He buries them and he forgets them. And so in heaven, there's going to be a nice little blank every once in a while. Oh, I don't remember exactly what you did that day. That's not what God does. He treats us with absolute kindness as if we never did it. as if we never did it. That's what he does. Doesn't forget. He's omnipotent. How can he? He just treats us. Want to be a witness? People don't care what day, one way or the other, per se. People don't care what's good or bad and what meat eating versus different things. People are looking for answers in their life today. They're looking for, as Glenn Campbell said, looking for a little kindness. And when we mingle among people, we walk among people, and we're kind, and we're joyful, and we're patient, and we're loving, people are not used to that. And somewhere along the way, they say, you know, there's something different about that person. I've told the story of my friend Leslie, friend of over 40 years, passed away about 3 years ago. Hated God. Cussed God. Meant every word of it, by the way. And God sent a man 3 months before he died. A man who pushed a wheelchair, helped him go to a class. I'm not going to tell the story. Told it. But I never forget the words Leslie said. And he could argue, he'd been an Adventist, raised an Adventist. His dad was a big Adventist in General Conference. He could argue with the best. Didn't care which side, he could argue with the best. He said he was the kindest person I've ever met. And later on that afternoon, he accepted Jesus Christ. Had all the books, had all the doctrines, had all the testimonies, had the Bible, had the arguments, had all of it. He was the kindest person I've ever met. Who out there in your circle of influence? Who out there in your family? Who out there where you work? Who out there in your family, in your house? Big one for me. Do you say, people say of you, he's kind?
Sometimes kindness is rejected when you don't really feel like you deserve it.
Absolutely.
But you've been something in your life that has tormented you, maybe, and you don't feel like that you could ever receive any kind of kindness from anyone.
You see, our job is like God's. After all, we're supposed to reflect God. Am I correct? Well, God never said, three strikes, you're out. He just keeps coming. Keeps coming. Rejected? Absolutely. The extreme kindness was on the cross as they insulted Him, as they were hurting Him, as they were laughing at Him, as they were cursing Him, as they were denying Him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Yes, ma'am.
During my lifetime, my childhood has been rather difficult, and because of that, you know, my joy of life has always been there. But for the children that are around me, I try to make that life more enjoyable. I do it for their sake, not for my sake. And I substitute in Plano school system mostly. And I have a special school that I like in particular. And one day I was subbing, and one of the girls in like fourth grade or something came up to me and said, are you nice? I said, yes. Well, then so other substitutes were mean. I said, well, were you mean to them? Well, maybe. So, maybe we can do something about that today. We'll have a good day. And it's always been a very special school for me. And I'm surprised at how the children respond to me, because when I go, I mean, I've been there enough so they know who I am, and when I go through the lunch room onto my lunch, there's always some child's, "Hi, Mrs. Nord."
Well, that's witnessing. That is what people are looking for. All right, who has a Bible? Matthew 25. Somebody look that up very quickly. Let me show you where kindness is the judgment. The judgment will be based on how kind you are. Not what you believe, not what you know. It's who you know that allows you to do kindness. Matthew 25, somebody, whoever gets there, read. Sandra, you there? Verse 17.
So also the one with the two talents gained two...
No, move down to the one that's heading on judgment. Goats and the...
Sheep and the goats?
Yep.
31?
Yeah, 31 sounds good.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him...
Now you get this? Son of Man is coming with all the angels... This is the judgment. Keep on.
He will sit in His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the
right. All right. Now, if this isn't the judgment, I don't know what it is. The little sheepies are over here. The big bad goats are over here. Keep going.
Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry..."
Now listen to the basis of the separation.
"For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you looked after Me. I was in prison, and you came to visit Me."
Then to the goats, He says, "I was hungry, and you never fed Me. I was in prison, you never visited Me. I was naked, and you never clothed Me. I was thirsty, and you never gave Me to drink." And what do they say?
"When did we see you?"
Pardon?
"When did we see you?"
Yeah, if we knew, God, it was You, well, we would have reacted. But we never saw You. So do you see where kindness is the ultimate? Because what leads you to feed the hungry? What leads you to take care of a naked brother? What leads you to look at a person around you and understand the most important thing that you can understand? You are a child of God. You are My brother. You are My sister. Kindness? Can you do this on your own, day in and day out? That's a question.
No.
Then how do we do this? You know, see, when I hear Angela's story, boy, I just want to slip in one little slide. Clank, 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 clank. That's humanity. What makes us kind?
Apart from Him, we can do nothing.
Okay. And what does that motivation come then from knowing Him to go out and show kindness to people who do not deserve kindness? What comes, makes us motivated to be kind to that person that's nasty to us, or be kind to that person that has brought upheaval into our lives? Where does that come from?
Ernie, I think that when we truly see our true condition and know that in all reality it is the kindness of God.
Absolutely.
And when we forget that, and in our humanness we do forget that God has been so kind to us, how could we treat other people any differently? That provides the motivation for
it. Right. Yes.
Sometimes God's kinder to us than we are to ourselves, because He says He forgets, but there are things that I just can't forget that I've done wrong. And sometimes He wants you to be kind to yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, that devil, it will always bring up you're not good enough. You've gone too far.
I think in those times we have to remember what Christ said. Neither do I condemn.
Absolutely. Neither do I accuse you. You see, we accuse. It's the devil that comes along. God has said, I knew you before you were born. I know every hair on your head. I have a plan for you before you were ever born. And He continues to work and work and work. What enables us to be kind to somebody else is when I recognize in my life, whatever I've done, how unworthy I am, God was kind to me. How can I do anything other than to return that kindness God give me and continues to give me to my brother and sister? I want each one of us to pause. I want you to shut your eyes for just a minute. And I would like for you to reflect on your life journey. Where did God reach out and put His arms around you and say, my brother, my sister, my son, my daughter, I don't accuse you. Let's move forward together. Our kind, gracious Father, we need to pause and not reflect upon the downsides of our journey, but to reflect when we needed you, you were there. Sometimes with tears in your eyes. Sometimes you said you're going to have to reap what you sown. But I'm there with you. I care. I do not condemn you. I do not accuse you. You are my son and my daughter. You were so kind to us that you allow your son to come to this earth and be humiliated, spat upon, made fun of, whipped, and crucified. And yet he showed kindness. And you showed the greatest kindness in our life because you showed you cared. Help us to come closer to you, to continue to experience your kindness, and help us that we begin to reflect more the kindness that you put in our lives to our brothers and sisters. Help us to understand the greatest witness, the things that changes people's hearts are not debate, not arguments, not proof texts, not books. It's the reflection of the kindness of you and your love. And they say, I would like to have that peace. No wonder you said that if you know me, you'll have joy, you'll have peace, you'll have patience, you'll have kindness. How can we have anything other than that with us abiding in your arms and your love? Thank you for this class. This class has held me together for many years. This class has been a blessing to most of us in here. And for this, we're so thankful. Give us a good day today. Precious name of Jesus. Amen.